It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, welcome back to Give Us Mork. I'm Neve.
I'm Megan.
And if you noticed, last week there was no Neve and Megan. It was Megan and Ash.
Sure was. Ash was super, super nice to send us over the first and second episode from our series that we covered the Black Dahlia on. Well, more so her likely killer. I can't remember his name. He was
the doctor.
An asshole anyway.
The son, like, heavily is like, I think my dad killed her.
Yeah. He, like, wrote, like, 3 books in it.
He also thinks his dad is the Zodiac killer.
For that, I don't think the dad... Well, he had, like, the IQ of, like, Albert Einstein or something.
It is because he, like, lived in San Francisco. Am I right? San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He lived in, like, San Francisco... roughly around the time that the like murders, the Zodiac killer like started. But I do believe he would have been maybe a bit old.
Then Zodiac, like whenever I think of the Zodiac, I think he's like an old dude, an old fart.
I do think he is an older guy, but I don't know.
I don't know jack shit, really. We have never covered the Zodiac, have we?
No, which is surprising because I mentioned the case quite regularly.
I know jack shit about that. So we should cover that. We should do like a Son of Sam situation on the Zodiac.
And that would be super fun because I really want to know who the Zodiac killer is.
Yeah. That's like your main thing.
It's like what keeps me up at night.
So yeah, last week you heard me and Ash. And the week before that, you heard the 3-parters by Neve on the Yorkshire Ripper. And this week, yet again, she's carrying the fucking... Her back is aching. Neve's back is breaking and aching because she is carrying this fucking podcast, I swear to God. And she is going to be telling us another case today.
I mean, my back is aching and breaking, but not from carrying the podcast. It's just...
Don't break my back. My achy, breaky back.
It's just health problems, not anything serious.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
And I've already done that, so.
Weepy, maybe.
Just me in a corner, like.
That's me in the corner.
Corner.
That's me in the spotlight. Me in fibromyalgia.
June. I want that played at my funeral. And anyways, I'm most definitely not carrying the podcast because I would be nothing without an editor, because I say some stupid shit sometimes, you guys.
We all do. We all do.
I really need Megan to filter me every now and again. Neve, you can't say that. People listen that we know. And I'm like, oh yeah, LMAO. Better not. Just put my personal life all out on this true crime podcast.
We always say that, though. We're always like, we may as well at this point give our fucking social security number out because we have said everything on this damn podcast.
I swear to God. So this week I have a super interesting case. It is the Springfield 3, which I don't know if many people know what the Springfield 3 are. And let me tell you. The Springfield 3 are 3 missing women. Cheryl Levitt, 47. her daughter Suzanne Susie Streeter, 19, and her friend Stacy McCall, 18, who all mysteriously disappeared from their home in Springfield, Missouri, on June 7, 1992. Cheryl Levitt was the mother of Suzanne Streeter, and she goes by Susie.
Okay.
She was 47 years old at the time of her disappearance. Cheryl was a cosmetologist. She was a single mother, and she was very close with Susie. So close, in fact, that Susie wanted to start working in cosmetology as well when she graduated school.
Aww, that's so sweet.
Isn't it? Susie Streeter was 19 years old at the time of her disappearance. She had just graduated from Kickapoo High School, which, yes, that is the name of the high school. I googled it several times because I felt like the internet was trying to play a joke on me. It's called Kickapoo.
Tenacious D have a song called Kickapoo. I thought it was a joke.
I was like, good one, internet, not falling for it. No, that's a real place.
Just another time, the internet never lied. People don't lie on the internet.
Nope, never. Her friend Stacy McCall was 18 years old at the time of her disappearance. Susie and Stacy had plans to go to college together, and they wanted to have a super adventurous summer before they started this brand new chapter in their life. They had just graduated high school.
Living the dream. That's so cute.
I know, isn't it? The pair had actually graduated from Kickapoo High School on June 6th, 1992. So the day before they were officially missing. They had plans to go to a party in Branson, Missouri, which was about 30 minutes from Springfield, with a mutual friend, Janelle Kirby. The three girls were going to spend the night in Branson at a motel, and then the next morning they wanted to go to Whitewater Amusement Park, which I believe is kind of like what Tato Park would be to us.
Yeah, but is the mascot an actual potato?
He's gone now. It's Emerald Park now.
We're being
stupid.
Washed off our culture. This is disgusting.
Why would they do that? They had a good thing going. Anyway, a bit angry about that. However, the plan didn't happen, and the three girls decided to go back to Springfield to Janelle's house and spend the night there instead of in Branson. And then they were going to go to the Whitewater Amusement Park the next day from Janelle's house. Mm-hmm. When they got to Janelle's house, that they found it was overcrowded because Janelle had a lot of family staying due to the graduation being on.
Yeah.
At around 2 a.m., Susie and Stacy decided that they were going to go sleep in Susie's house because of this. Mm-hmm. And they told Janelle that they would ring her in the morning so that they could organize what time they were going to leave and, you know, whose car they're going to take and all that kind of stuff. A witness saw Susie and Stacy on Battlefield Road at about 2:30 a.m. And it is believed that the two girls got home to Susie's house without any issues. Cheryl was last heard from between 11 to 11:30 p.m. that night. She was talking to a friend on the phone about a project she was planning on starting soon. Nobody saw or heard anything suspicious between 11 p.m. and 2:30 a.m. However, that was the last time anyone ever heard or saw those three women again.
Okay, because I got a little bit kind of confused there. So there's Janelle, Cheryl, and...
There is Susie, Cheryl, and Stacy. Janelle is their friend.
Okay.
Whose house that they went to, but her house was too overcrowded, so they left to go to Susie's house.
Right, okay.
So Janelle is just like a mutual friend of theirs.
Right, okay. I get you now. Sorry.
Yeah. The next morning, Janelle rang Susie's house to, you know, start confirming the plans for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to take a while, I believe, to get up to Whitewater Amusement Park. So, like, they needed to leave early and so...
Get the day going.
Yep. After a few calls, Janelle left messages for the girls because, obviously, nobody was answering. And she was asking them to call them back because she was like, it's getting, you know... Now, it was still, like, I think it was, like, 9:30 or something like that in the morning. But because they wanted to, like, make a day of it and stuff... It was kind of like, you should be up by now.
Yeah, let's get the ball rolling.
Yeah. Janelle decided that she was going to go around to Susie's house to see what was going on, and her boyfriend came with her. The couple arrived at Susie's house at around 9 a.m. To look at the house on the outside, you would not suspect anything had happened. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. All the cars were still in the driveway. They did notice that the porch light was still on, but the casing of the light, so the, like, glass casing that like would cover the light had been smashed, and all the broken glass was all over the porch. Janelle's boyfriend swept up the glass to move it out of the way because he knew that something like that would drive Cheryl mad. Like, she hated like her porch being dirty, and then he also was like, in case anyone came out in their bare feet and they stepped on the glass, I'm just gonna sweep this to the side.
That was nice of him.
Yep, super nice.
Oh, no. God damn it.
This did destroy vital evidence.
Yeah, I did not think of that. Did not think of that at all.
Yeah. He was only trying to be a good guy, I get, but, you know. And I get that, like, they didn't think anything was wrong. But, you know, sometimes maybe just leave stuff alone.
Yeah. Poor guy. Can you imagine, like, you do something nice and then you're told, like,
why did you do that?
I'm like, I'm sorry. Never sleep again. Or sweep again.
Or sweep again. He's like, I'm never sweeping up ever again. The front door was unlocked, so the pair entered the home. At first, nothing seemed out of the ordinary. The TV was playing static. The beds did appear to have been slept in. All of the women's purses were stacked together on the kitchen counter along with their jewellery. Cheryl was a chain smoker and her cigarettes were still on the kitchen counter along with a check that was yet to be deposited into the bank. So Janelle and her boyfriend began to feel like super concerned, and they started to get a real sense of dread because, like, Cheryl's a chain smoker and there's her cigarettes on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
The three women are not in the house. The telly is still on, but it's playing static because it's been on for so long. But yeah, all three cars, like Cheryl's car, Susie's car and Stacy's car, are like still in the driveway.
Yeah, it's dodgy.
It's like they're starting to feel like a bit like, the fuck is going on? Like, where are they?
Yeah, and like, why is their jewellery just kind of casually out?
Exactly. As they searched the house, they found Susie's Yorkshire Terrier, Cinnamon.
Aw, Cinnamon.
Isn't that so cute? The dog seemed to be agitated and frantic, like, obviously, the way it was barking and stuff. And but, like, the dog would have been, like, used to Janelle, so, like, it shouldn't have been barking, if you get me.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That poor dog is like, where the fuck is my owner's? What the fucking balls is going on? Literally. Cinnamon is losing his shit. Or her
Someone
shit.
Fucking feed me. I'm going to shit all over this house if you don't let me outside.
I'm going to shit on these walls. I'm going to shit all over these walls, Ray.
I'm going to piss in your mouth. I'm going to shit on these walls. I'm going to shit on these walls, Ray. What? Too dirty?
She is such an iconic character in that movie. What? It's laundry day. Like, I love her.
Love it. She almost makes the movie.
Yeah, if she wasn't in it, it wouldn't be half as good.
Definitely not. So Janelle began to panic that something had happened to her friends and her friend's mom. As they were searching the house, the phone rang and Janelle answered it in case it was any one of the three women. Like, she answered it thinking, like, oh, maybe it's them calling.
Yeah.
Why they'd be calling their own house, I don't know. But at that stage, you're just like, just in case it's them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was a strange man who began saying weird sexual comments in graphic detail down the phone.
Got in front of Cinnamon.
Janelle immediately hung up. Shortly after, the phone rang again, and when Janelle answered it, it was the same man still making these lewd sexual comments. Janelle hung up straight away. She did tell the police about this later on. However, they just put it down to a silly little prank call.
Oh. They must often get horny men, like, saying nasty shit as a silly little prank call.
The police never searched more into these phone calls. Someone else got phone calls as well, and they just never really looked into it. And it was kind of like, but
what? Even if this wasn't part of a bigger investigation, I feel like if somebody is reporting this to you, you should look into it.
I feel like even if it has nothing to do with the three women's disappearance, someone is ringing people
in your town
and being, and he's like, super fucking
shit
creepy
on these walls, right?
Literally. And they're just like, silly little prank calls.
What the fuck?
Okay, I guess. Janelle and her boyfriend left the house after this, and Janelle just assumed that her friends had maybe gone to the water park without her. She was like, maybe I missed them. Maybe they tried to call me, couldn't get a hold of me, and just decided to go on up. I don't know. And yeah. Like, you have to remember, like, she's like 17, 18. Yeah. Like, she's like, nah, they're not murdered. It's fine.
Yeah. Of course you're not going to, that's not going to be your thought. You're going to be like, ah, oh, they went to the water park without me. You know what? They're three friends, and then it never works out with the fourth friend. I get it.
Stacey McCall's mother, Janice, was unaware that Stacey was at Susie's house. The last she had heard from Stacey was that the girls were planning to sleep at Janelle's house. So in the morning, Janice had called Janelle's home after not hearing from Stacey for a while, and she was informed that she was not there, that she was probably at Susie's house. So she's like, okay, normally like she'd call me just to be like, hey, I'm okay, by the way.
Yeah.
About to head off to the water park. I'll see you in a little bit. But she hadn't. So she was like, I'm just going to call quickly and make sure that everything's okay. Mm. And then they were like, oh, no, no. She's more than likely at Susie's house. She didn't sleep here.
Classic switcheroo.
Switcheroo. After almost the full day had gone by without hearing from Stacey, so Janice decided that she was going to go over to Susie's house to see what was going on. It was late in the evening when Janice arrived, when Janice and her eldest daughter, Lisa, arrived. They arrived to the front door being unlocked and the shattered glass in a tidy pile beside the door, which we now know is from Janelle's boyfriend. Janice found the same scene inside the house as Janelle. The TV playing static, the women's purses in a pile on the kitchen counter. Janice noticed that Stacey's swimsuit, her change of clothes and her makeup was all organized in a neat pile in the corner of Susie's room. And this was when Janice decided she needed to call the police. 16 hours into the women's disappearance.
So when was it originally found? Because first they went over, Janelle and her boyfriend went over at 9 a.m. At mm-hmm. what time were the police called?
16 hours later.
That's a long ass time. That is mm-hmm. a long time.
Well, so the women were, it was probably more, no, wouldn't have been, sorry, my bad, wouldn't have been 16 hours later. The two girls were last seen at 2:30 a.m. Stacey and Susie were last seen at 2:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So probably 16 hours from 2:30, which would be, you're talking 6 in the evening.
That's a lot of maths. Yeah.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a full day, yeah. It's
a full day that nobody had heard from, and like nobody had heard from the two girls or Susie's mother. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. And then at the same time, they graduated the day before. So, you know, they're probably thinking of, you know.
Probably hungover.
Partying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like not too suspicious, but at the same time, it's a little suspicious.
Mm.
Janice was searching like through the house and she accidentally deleted a suspicious voicemail from a male making sexual comments off the system. Police believed that the voicemail was not connected to the phone calls that Janelle had received when she was at the house.
How many? What?
So Janelle had been in the house at 9 a.m, right?
Yeah.
Got two phone calls. She answered that phone twice. And it was the same man making these weird sexual comments. Now, nowhere could I find what these sexual comments are. They're just weird sexual comments that he was making mm-hmm. that made her really super fucking uncomfortable. Then Janice, Stacey's mother, is in the house, like, what, 8 hours, 9 hours later?
Mm.
And there's a voicemail of a man making weird sexual comments and she accidentally deletes it and she tells police like, hey, I was just trying to see if I could go through it to see if like any of the girls had left a voicemail. I accidentally deleted this. And they're like, yeah, it's probably nothing. Not related to that girl that told us about those weird phone calls. They're different. They're different phone calls. How many men go around your town? Yeah. Go around your town doing that? Because we all seem to have a pervert problem.
A weirdo on the loose.
Must be several. While Janice was waiting on the police to get to the house, family and friends came over to sit with her in Cheryl's home.
Oh, so
like
just,
the crime
like,
scene. Yeah.
Trampling all over the crime scene. Hello. Were these people trained by the same cops who did JonBenet's crime scene?
I honestly think so. While there, some of them decided that they were going to start cleaning around the house, wiping down countertops, moving things around, just trying to keep busy while they're waiting on the cops to arrive.
Did we learn nothing from JonBenet? Because JonBenet was before this, right? That was like 97. This is 99, no?
This is 1992, so no, actually. They should have learned from this case.
Okay, PSA. If you're waiting on cops to come and try find your missing friends / family...
Wait outside.
Wait outside. Don't fucking clean.
Wait outside. Don't clean. Don't clean.
I know you're trying to do a kindness, but you're not doing anyone a kindness.
No. This obviously naturally did destroy any possible evidence that was laying around the house. So when police arrived, they said that they would file the missing person reports on the three women. There was nothing further that they could do until morning because it was late in the night at this stage. The police then asked Janice to obtain Stacy's dental records straight away. This is something that stuck out to a lot of people and they find this strange because it is a really odd thing to do, that the first thing you do is say, by the way, I need your daughter's dental records in a missing person's case.
Yeah, that would have my back up, like, big time. Like, no, what the bitch, what do you know?
This led a few people to believe that there is like a cover up somewhere in the police force in Springfield and that they already had at least Stacy's body.
Just realize this is called Springfield and now all I can think of is Chief Wiggum involved in a massive cover up.
I mean, fucking sounds like Chief Wiggum, so. Janice started to immediately gather recent photos of Stacy and she created a missing persons flyer. And she did this for all three women. Like, she did this for Cheryl and Susie as well, which, like, fair play to her. Like, even though, like, obviously your main focus is going to be on your child, she's like, you know, there's a woman and her child missing also.
Fair play.
Janice and the community went around Missouri handing out flyers to all of the shops and to anyone that would take them in. Which actually in like some of the shops in Missouri, some of them still have the posters up.
Oh, that is absolutely heartbreaking.
After days of no leads, eventually a local waitress from George's Breakfast Restaurant, which was the favorite restaurant of Cheryl and Susie, came forward stating that she remembered seeing the three women in the restaurant the night that they disappeared between 1 and 3 a.m. However, the police could not get anyone to corroborate her story as no one else remembered seeing them.
Oh, okay.
The police then began to look into the personal lives of the three women in the hopes that it would give them some sort of lead, you know, like... ex-boyfriends, ex-husbands, you know, all that usual. Yep. Police then learn of Bart Streeter, the brother of Susie and the son of Cheryl. Bart was 9 years older than Susie. In the early 1980s, Cheryl had kicked Bart out of the house, stating, quote, if you want to live under my roof, you have to abide by my rules, according to Bart.
Fair.
Bart had a drinking problem and other issues. He had been estranged from his family for almost 10 years. When he moved back to Springfield, Susie and Bart became close again and the siblings moved into an apartment together. However, things didn't last long and Bart started drinking again. Susie and Bart then began to argue over his drinking and things eventually turned violent when Bart attacked Susie. And that's when Susie moved back in with Cheryl. Police questioned Bart over the women's disappearances, but he was eventually cleared as a suspect. And to this day, Bart is haunted by the fact that he never got to make things right with his mother or his sister.
Yeah, that would be rough.
It's something that, like, really sits with him now. And I think he, like, even still was recently, like, arrested on, like, drug charges and stuff. It's obviously something that he's just never been able to overcome.
God bless him. It must be really hard. Like, obviously, anything, trying to give any addiction up is incredibly difficult. But then when you have something as heavy as like your fucking family disappearing.
Disappearing. And then the police as well, like questioning you for it.
Yeah.
And I get that they have to question these people. Like, mm-hmm. I completely, like, you have to question these people just to rule them out. But in a case of like his, that's something that it's like, fuck, like they think I done it. And do you know?
Yeah.
It's like, which is sad because it was something that I think he wanted to eventually do. It was like make things right.
Yeah.
The police then learned of Susie's ex-boyfriend, Dustin Reckler. While Susie and Dustin were together, Dustin had been arrested with his friend, Michael Clay, for breaking into a mausoleum and stealing gold teeth from a corpse inside the mausoleum.
Ew.
Yep. Michael and Dustin then sold the gold teeth to a pawn shop. When Susie learned of this, she broke things off with Dustin, naturally. And it was reported that Susie was even going to go and testify on behalf of the prosecution against Dustin and Michael.
Wow, that sounds like a big fat motive, if I've ever heard one.
I swear. Dustin and Michael had a lot of anger towards Susie and her friends. There were reports that Michael was overheard stating, "I wish all three women are dead."
Sorry, that's just like, "I wish for all three women to disappear between the hours of 3 and 9 a.m. It's so specific.
Isn't it? When the two men were questioned about the women's disappearances, they both had alibis. However, no one was ever able to confirm these alibis. Police, however, did not have enough evidence to ever charge them with the crime. Police weren't even sure what crime it was that they were supposed to charge them with, because the women are missing, and do you charge them with murder? Do you, like, because it's early on in the investigation, so it's like, are they alive? Is it just kidnapping? Is it murder? Like, what? Dustin and Michael are still considered persons of interest in the case today.
Yeah, I concur. I think that they are, from the high list the so far, the most likely suspects.
Yes.
If it's not a stranger.
If it's not a stranger. A woman then called police with a tip that on the morning of the women's disappearance, she was sitting out on her front porch at around 6:30 a.m., when she saw a Dodge panel van with a silver to green hue driving past. It looked to be a 1960s or 1970s model. It drove past her house and a woman driving it looked very distressed. She also said that she could hear a male voice coming from inside the van yelling, "Back out slowly and don't do anything stupid." How she heard that from a moving van?
Who knows? Maybe it was like a slow moving. Do you ever see that video of a Ring camera and there's a woman standing out on her front porch and there's like a car driving by and all you can hear is a woman's voice going like, "Help me, help, help."
Oh my God,
you can like hear it as it's coming up the road. It's mad. I've only seen the video. I don't know like any background to it or anything.
The woman later identified the driver as Susie Streeter. The police decided to place a similar van outside the police department with like all the numbers to call on it in the hopes that it was going to jog people's memory in seeing the van. A paper boy who had been delivering papers late at night, the same night the women went missing, came forward saying that he saw the van, but it was a brown colour, wasn't a silver to green hue.
Right.
Janice never gave up on trying to find her daughter, or Susie, or Cheryl. She would phone national news stations to try keep the story in the news all across America. And this led to a tip from a guy in Florida.
Florida.
Florida. And we're just going to take a quick little ad break here.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So the police have been given a tip about a guy from Florida. He told the police to look into Robert Craig Cox, and he claimed this man had killed his sister, Sharon Zeller. Sharon was a 19-year-old that was allegedly murdered by Robert in 1978. At the time, Robert had been in the area celebrating with his family for completing basic training with the army. Robert was staying at a hotel with his parents, and late one night, Robert arrived back to the hotel room with blood coming from his mouth and his tongue partially bitten off.
Jesus.
Robert was brought to the ER and told the nurses he had accidentally bitten off his own tongue. Shortly after, Sharon Zeller's body was then found 100 feet from the hotel that Robert was staying in. Police were unable to formally charge Robert with the murder as they had no DNA evidence.
Did he ever find his tongue?
Have tongue? I don't know. Robert then went off and joined the army. In 1985, he was dishonorably discharged from the army and was charged and convicted of kidnapping and assaulting two women. He was then charged with Sharon's murder and was placed on death row. But Robert fought these charges and he won because there was a lack of DNA. So he was able to get the conviction overturned.
That's disgraceful.
Robert then moved to Springfield and he got himself a job working for Stacy's father.
Oh.
When police questioned Robert about the women's disappearance, he told them he spent the night with his girlfriend and then went to mass the next morning.
He would say that. Liars do pretend they go to church.
They do. Robert's girlfriend then confirmed his alibi. However, 3 years later, Robert's arrested for holding a gun on a 12-year-old girl.
Robert, get your fucking shit together. Jesus. My God.
He was then arrested, isn't he? He was then arrested for armed robbery, and he is currently serving a life sentence in jail.
He should have been there like a long time ago.
Yeah, really should have. Robert remained a prime suspect for years. During an interview on TV years later, he told reporters, quote, "I can tell you that I know three women are dead and that the person who committed the crime had experience and they were buried close to Springfield."
Don't want to expand on that a little bit more, Robert, please. Thank you.
Police did take the statement very, very serious. However, they did have concerns that Robert was just trying to get like a little bit of fame, like a little bit of, oh my God, who's this guy?
Mm.
And then Robert's now ex-girlfriend, because she dumped his ass for holding a gun on a 12-year-old, like she should, came forward and stated that she lied all those years ago and that Robert had not spent the night with her and she did, in fact, not know where he was the night the three women went missing.
Huh.
Robert has made the claim that he will tell the truth when his mother passes away as he doesn't want to cause her any more grief. Which is like, people believe that's him saying, I did kill them and I will tell you, but just when my mother dies. But then an awful lot of people also believe that he's just saying that to, like, keep himself relevant.
Oh, yeah. I can see both sides.
Mm-hmm. A man by the name Stephen Garrison soon became a suspect when he told police that his friend had drunkenly told him at a party that he had killed three missing women. Stephen then went on to give police information that was not public knowledge. Police followed Stephen's quote-unquote tips, which brought them to two different properties. And at one of the properties, they found a green moss-coloured van. And then, like, obviously they figured out that, like, no friend had told him this, that he, in fact, was the friend.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, my friend told me.
Ted Bundy did the same thing because he didn't ever want to confess and be like, yeah, I did this. But he was like, if a guy was to do this, like my friend, like,
like, pal, are you that friend? Are you that friend? I think you are. A judge then ordered a gag order on the search warrants of these two properties. So no one actually knows what police found or what they were even looking for when they were searching them.
I wonder why that is.
Same. Stephen is now serving time in prison for assaulting a college student in 1993, and he still remains a person of interest. There are so many unanswered questions in this case. How did anybody manage to abduct three women without a single person noticing? How did they manage to leave little to no evidence behind? There are too many theories as to what happened, one being that the women were being watched and followed. Another that whoever took them was pretending to be law enforcement to gain access to the house. Another that law enforcement have something to do with the disappearances. A woman came forward and said that she believed the three women had been buried under the foundations of a parking lot at Cox Hospital in Springfield. The parking lot was under construction at the time of their disappearances. This woman paid, she used her own money, to have a specialist use excavation equipment to try see if there was any remains underneath the foundation. And this proved that there were three items, possibly bodies, lying on top of each other in the parking lot garage underneath the concrete.
Jesus.
There is no evidence that it is the three women. However, police refused to dig up the parking lot, stating it would cost too much.
What?
Despite the hospital granting permission to dig up anything if it helps find the women.
The woman was too stunned to speak. I don't know what to say to that.
Most commonly, people believe that the three women were abducted by professionals and sold into the world of human trafficking.
That last theory is the one that is, to me, the scariest.
And it's the one that's more the most likely.
Yeah, sex trafficking is...
Like, this is 1992. Sex trafficking is rampant, but it's something that's not talked about. And so it's something that they don't know to look out for. So if someone pulls up to the house and is like, hey, can I come in and use your phone? They're like, sure thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's fucked. And I don't know. It kind of makes me think that it's somebody that they know. Because in my head, the way it's playing out is that the person went up to the porch and like tried to knock the light so that when they turned on the light, they wouldn't be able to see it was at the door.
Exactly. The theory with the police being involved, I get it, because why won't they dig it up?
Won't they dig it up, and why did they ask for dental records?
Yeah. But in saying that as well, I just think it's more than likely. There has to have been more than one abductor, because how do you get three women? How do you take three women without a peep or without leaving behind some sort of evidence?
Unless he had a big gun or some sort of weapon.
Even
or
still, think
the dog or something. I don't know.
In that scenario, if there's three of you and there's one like intruder, you would think to yourself, we could overpower him. Like, there's three against one here. And I think that's why a lot of people think that it was somebody that they knew, or like somebody in law enforcement, like somebody that they trusted, that when he like came in, that it was a case of. So I believe what's commonly thought of is that it is sex trafficking, but it was organized by someone that they knew. And like an officer came in and said, hey, look, I need you to vacate the premises because there is a madman on the loose and just trying to keep you safe. So I need you to come with me.
Yeah.
And like, that's how that and that's how like you take three women without a single fuss. Janice McCall has never given up the hope that maybe her daughter is still alive. She hopes and believes that Stacy would still be found. Janice founded a non-profit organization to try help other families of missing people. Every year, Janice hosts a vigil for Stacy, Suzanne, and Cheryl. If you, the listener, are from the area and have any information regarding the three women, you can leave an anonymous tip with the Springfield Police Department. You can text 417-SPD along with your tip to 274-637, or you can call 417-869-8477.
God damn.
And that is the case. The women are still missing. 31 years later.
That is absolutely haunting.
Yeah. This is the part when I say this is an interesting case. I find it so interesting that someone managed to just break in and take three women and nobody saw a single fucking thing.
Yeah. Or there's another thing. What if he was never in the house? Well, no, because the purses were there. Because my brain went to like, they were seen at the diner. By your one diner. What if they were coming in and he got them just as they were coming in? He waited in the porch.
See, the purses and stuff, but Stacey's like clothes were in the house and that, like her clothes for the next day. But so Stacey and Susie had been out like celebrating their graduation while Susie's mother, Cheryl, was at home. So like, and like she didn't even know the two girls were coming back to the house. Some people believe that it was like somebody watching Cheryl and that they were going for Cheryl.
Yeah.
And then just Susie and Stacey rocked up and they just like rolled with it.
Yeah. And it like, is odd. Like, why was nothing stolen?
That's the thing. Like, that's why I think a lot of people think sex trafficking, because like nothing was taken. Like, there was a check undeposited there. Like, they could have taken the check.
The check, the jewellery. You can sell anything in any of those purses. Makeup, perfume.
Do you know what I mean? Like, none of it was taken. So it was a bit like, what? So like, that's why I think a lot of people do lean towards the sex trafficking, like that they were only there for the women.
Yeah.
And where, from what I believe from research and stuff, where they lived in Springfield, I believe there is highways all around it.
Right.
The fact that it took someone 16 hours to contact police.
Yeah. That's
they just had to get on a highway and they were gone.
Oh, they were long gone. 16 long hours gone. Is enough of a head start to give anybody, to, you know, get away.
A lot of people, I think, do give hate to Janelle for not calling. She's an 18-year-old girl. She isn't thinking that her friends and her friend's mother has been kidnapped. She's thinking they've probably... The mother is probably at work and they've probably gone off to the water park without me, forgot to lock the door.
Yeah, like the house wasn't in disarray. The only thing that was broken was the porch light, and the light itself wasn't even broken. It was just the casing. It was
the to look at the house, is it weird that the telly was on? Yes. Is it weird that the porch light was on, was broken? Yes. And is it weird that the door was open? Yes. But
it's always like when you hear of these stories, it's like, oh, the town was so safe. You could just leave your front door unlocked. Like, no, you don't do that. No. You don't do that.
First of all, cars exist. Anyone could be driving through your town. Second of all, you don't know all your neighbors.
Even like I'm not being funny, but my house, if I know I'm having company over, I'm cleaning my house like spick and span. Or like tidying shit away. Like, I don't want people I know walking in and like seeing how I live.
Like, I don't want you to just waltz on into my house, like open up the door and I'm like in a different room and you're like, hey, I've entered.
Yeah, what if like, you know, you're in the shower or you're naked or whatever and someone just walks right on in? No, thank you. Lock your doors, please.
Honestly, lock your doors and lock your windows too.
Just lock everything, okay? And get blinds and get curtains. This needs to be like stranger danger kind of vibes. Like, lock your doors, lock your windows.
Honestly. Years ago, decades ago, Ireland did the same. But then it soon became clear that it could not be a thing and we stopped doing it. And
yeah. In Ireland, nothing is safe. A few years ago, my dad's work van got robbed. Like, while in the middle of the day, while... there were people in the house.
Oh, my next door neighbor's work van was robbed there like last year or the year before at like 10 o'clock at night or something like that. And his wife was closing like the curtains of like one of the rooms upstairs and she like saw them. She didn't know what they were doing at first and she was like, what is that? And she said she was scared to knock on the window.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know what they were doing. You know, so she like rang the police or whatever, but like she's staring at them from the window and they're still breaking into his van.
What the hell? Yeah, you cannot leave in Ireland, you cannot leave anything unlocked anymore. You just can't.
Honestly, no. If you really enjoyed this week's episode, make sure you go check out some of our other stuff. Such as Megan's work with
Can't
Ash.
Even remember the last episode, I fucking know. It was Matthew Hoffman. Girl, what the hell?
But you can always check out Megan's collaboration with That's So Fucked Up. You can also check out, if you haven't already done so, you can also check out The Yorkshire Ripper. That's three parts. That keep you entertained for a little while.
Yes, it will.
And you can always follow us on all of our socials, such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, are all at Give Us Morgue. If you left us a review, that would be so amazing.
That would be so sensational. You loca ladies and gents.
Loca ladies. Malta life is rubbing off on Megan. You loca ladies. And you can also see who you're listening to on our own personal Instagrams at MegPowell_ and at LifeAsNeve. And of course, you know, you can check us out everywhere and anywhere. Niall, when is our fucking website going to be back up and running?
It's running, it's just fucking terrible.
I tried to go on it the other day and I couldn't.
Let me talk to him. Let me just, yeah.
Yeah, fucking Niall, swear to God. We love you, really, but you know. You know.
Anyway.
So yeah, we'll see you on the flip side.
Have a nice day.
Cilantro.